Also I say, Nisha Bechachas Shag, but Mehudim Sechaz Vorham Dach Vyut Tes. Nisha says, if a Kohen has a wound on his finger on Shabbos, he's allowed to wrap a reed grass around it in the base of Migdosh, but not anywhere else. He can't do it anywhere else because it has healing properties, and healing on Shabbos is also Drabonon. To wrap the wound tightly with the grass in order to push out blood, that's also even in the base of Migdosh. Rehuda, son of Chia, explained, it's mutter to wrap the finger in grass, but not in a small belt, he said. Why? Because it would be considered as if the Kohen is wearing an additional clothing, which would be Usher. Rabbi Yechanan said extra clothing is only a problem when it's worn in the place that the clothing of a kohen is worn, not when something is worn on the finger. What's the problem? Why is it not a problem of chatzitza, though? He's holding something in his hand and there's a belt around that finger. When I said talking about where the wound is on the left hand, the avoid is done with the right hand, or the wound is on the right hand, but not on the part where that touches the avoid. Let's say it's on the back of the hand. Rabbi Yechanan argues with Rav because Rav in the name of Chisa said in the place of a kohen's clothing, even one hair is a chatzitza. Elsewhere, if the additional item is 3x3 etzbois, it's considered to be an additional garment. It's a problem. Less than that, it's not an issue. It could be Zagmar that Rava would agree with Rabbi Yehuda and son of Rav Chia, because he may say that a small belt is significant and therefore it's problematic even if it's less than 3x3. Another version says that Rabbi Yehuda and son of Rav Chia explained that it's mutter to wrap a finger in grass but not in a small belt, because that would be considered as if the kohen is wearing additional clothing, which is not permitted. Rabbi Yehuda said extra clothing that is smaller than 3x3 is only a problem when it's worn in a place where the clothing of the kohen is worn, but not when it's worn elsewhere. Because then, if it's 3x3, it's problematic. Less, it's not a problem. However, according to this version, Rabbi Yehuda is saying the same thing as Rav in the name of Rav Chisda. So, it could be that Rav would agree with Rabbi Yehuda in the name with Rabbi Yehuda and son of Rav Chia, because he may say that a small belt is significant and therefore is problematic even when it's less than 3. In fact, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why does the Mishnah teach regarding reed grass instead of teaching about a small belt, which would be mutter? And for the Gemara, it's teaching an additional point that reed grass has some type of curative properties. Rava asks, what's the halacha if wind blew into the Bigdei Kahuna as it was being worn by the Kohen? Do we say that the pasuk requires the clothing to be al-basari and therefore with the wind there, it's not al-basari anymore, it's a problem? Or maybe this is a normal thing and therefore it's okay? What if a louse goes between the clothing and the kohen? If it's dead, it's definitely a chatzitza and it's a problem. If it's alive, do we say that since it comes and goes, it's not a chatzitza? Or do we say that since the kohen doesn't want it, there is a chatzitza? What if there's earth between the clothing and the kohen? Now, regular earth is surely chatzitza. What if it's dust from the earth? What about a space between the kohen's armpit and the clothing? Is that a problem because it's not albasari? Or maybe it's not a problem because that's no way that people wear clothing. What if a kohen puts his arm into the body of his shirt? Is his own body chatzitza or not? What if there's a thread between the clothing and the kohen? Now, a stray thread is certainly chatzitza. The question is regarding a thread that's hanging from the clothing itself. Is that a chatzitza? My Bar Avashi asks, what if the kohen's hair was long and went between his clothing and his body? Do we say that the hair is like body and therefore it's not a chatzitza? Or do we say that it's not like his body and therefore it's a chatzitza? Reb Zeri asked, are tefillin the problem to be worn in that they would be considered an additional article of clothing? Now, according to the view that one cannot fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin at night, since they would be a chatzitza at night, they would also be considered a chatzitza by day with regard to the extra clothing, you know, for the Bigdei Kahuna. The question is, according to the view that one can fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin at night, would an object of a mitzvah, the tefillin, be considered an extra article of clothing and be usur or not? Mar said that the question eventually was asked to Rabbi Ami, who said that it's considered to be an additional article of clothing and would therefore be usur for the kohen to wear while he does the avodah. In fact, Mar Bright says the kohanim during the avodah, the levim during the singing, and the israelim during the maimed are potter from tefillah and tefillin. This suggests that they're potter, but that if they do wear tefillin, it wouldn't be usur. Mar said the Bright means it would even be usur. If so, in fact, the Brisa shouldn't say potter, say osir. Mara said, for the Levim Israel, it would never be osir. It only be that it doesn't make sense to use the word osir. That's why we use the word osir, even though Kahanim are involved as well. In fact, Mara Brisa clearly says that if the Kohen wears tefillin, it's not problematic. So Rav Ami said that, Rav Ami was referring to the tefillin worn on the arm. And this Brisa is referring to the tefillin worn on the head. Although, just like they can't be a chatzitza by the arm, they also can't be a chatzitza by the head, but the head tefillin is different. Like we find that the Kohen Gadol would wear tefillin between his hat and the tzitz, between it, because there was taka enough place without the Bigdei Kahuna to wear the head tefillin. Okay, next, the mission said Mechus Kippurim. How do we know that this makes the avodah possible? So Rav Huna said, the pasuk says, V'chiper Oleh HaKoyen V'Toheira, which teaches that before a person brings the carbon, there's some level of tumah that he still has. Mishnah then said, V'shalai Richutz Yodayim V'Raglayim. Mar says, this is learned from Gzeir Shav of Chuka, from the case of a Koyen who does the avodah without wearing the Bigdei Kahuna. A Braisa says, if a Kohen Gadol did not go to the mikvah or wash his hands and feet from the kiyar between his changes of clothing and between the avoidas, and he did the avoida, it's kosher. However, if a Kohen Gadol or a regular Kohen did not wash his hands and feet in the morning before he began any avoida, the avoida is possible. Rav Asi asked Rabbi Yechanan, the 5 required tefillas and 10 washings of the hands and the feet of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur are deraisa, regarding which the pasuk says chuka, so why are they not essential? Rabbi Yechanan said, the pasuk ends off saying ulevei shom, which teaches that only the wearing of the begadim are essential, but the tefillos and the washings are not. Rav Asi was very pleased with the answer. Rav Yechon said the answer is not really good, because if so, the washing in the morning shouldn't be essential either. Chizkiyah says, the pasuk says, v'hoysu lehem chok oylam loyul zari le'roysam, which teaches that only something that applies to all kahanim, not just the kohen gadol, is essential, which is why only the morning washing is essential and the others are not. Rav Yechon said, we learn from the pasuk, it says, v'rachatsu mimenu Moshe v'arayin ubanov, which teaches that only something that's essential for his sons, regular kahanim, meaning is essential for him, meaning the kohen gadol, and something that's not essential for his sons is not essential for him. Rav Yechon doesn't learn like Chizkiyah, because he says that the pasuk is teaching regarding future generations. Chizkiyah doesn't learn from the pasuk of Rabbi Yonasan, because he says, like Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Chanina, who uses this pasuk to teach that the heer has to be large enough for at least four kahanim to use at once. So my writer, Bryce, says the mitzvah of washing hands and feet is done by the kohen by putting his right hand on his right foot and his left hand on his left foot, and then he washes them in this position. Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, says he puts his hands one on top of the other and puts them both on top of the feet, which are one on top of the other, and he washes them in those positions. Rabbi Yossi said a person can't stand like that. Rabbi Yossi explained that according to Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, another kohen would have to be there to help support the kohen standing up while he did this. Abai explained the machlokes is whether standing while being supported is considered to be standing, and the washing has to be done when it's standing, because it's considered to be, it's referred to as lishares, which is an avoida, which and all avoidas have to be done while standing, like we learned earlier. Zakhmer Vaita, Bryce says if a kohen washes hands and feet during the day, he doesn't have to do so again at night for avoida that he will do it then. If he did the washing at night, he has to do another one in the morning. This is the view of Rebbe, who said that the passing of the night nullifies the washing that was done. Rebbe, the son of Shimon, says that the passing of the night does not nullify the washing that was done. Zakhmer that Bryce says, Rebbe says if a kohen was offering karbonis on the mizbech all night, he still needs a new washing in the morning. Rebbe, the son of Shimon, says if he continues to do avoida, then the washing continues to be effective forever, even if he spans the period of 10 days. Both Bryces are needed. Why? If we only have the first bris, we would say that Rebbe holds that way over there because the avodah was not being done continuously, but if it was done in that way and continuously, he would agree with Rebbe Elazar. If we only had a second bris, we would say Rebbe Elazar holds that way only because the avodah was done continuously, but if not, he would agree that with Rebbe, he needs a new washing. So, that Rebbe's view is based on the words begishtam in the pasuk, which suggests that a new avodah needs a new washing, and the morning is called a new avodah. Rebbe Elazar's view is based on the word bevoyam, which suggests that only a new coming to the azara requires a new washing. Zakhtimar, Rebbe says that Bevoyam teaches that as long as it's the same day, a new washing is not required. Rebbe Elazar says Begishtam teaches that a washing is only required when he enters to do an avoida, not for any other reason. Why would you think that if no avoida was going to be done, that he would have to wash? The pasuk says Lasharis, which means that the washing for an avoida is what has to be done. And rather, Begishtam is needed for the drasha of Rachab Yaakov, who learned from this pasuk that the washing of the Kohen Gadol after he goes to the Mikvah Yom Kippur is done after he is dressed. The words Lahakter Isha teach that washing the hands and the feet must even be done for an avoida which does not bring about a kapara.